He's in this house. Hallelujah. 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 Turn in your Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 16. The book of Acts, chapter 16. Praise God for the music this morning, the singing. Hallelujah. Sister Yvette gets much more anointed. I'll have to go over there and take the mic away from her. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's okay, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Wonderful, Sister Yvette, singing beautiful. Acts chapter 16 and verse 16. Acts 16, verse 16. And we're going to preach this morning on the kingdom of God is under siege. The kingdom of God is under siege. The Bible says that, but the Bible also tells us that we have the victory. So Acts 16, if you are older or you've been sick and just don't feel up to par, please feel free to sit down. Sister Chambers, sit down there, will you? You're not going to do it. You've been that way ever since I married you. Hallelujah. And I love it. Isn't that wonderful? She's the sweetest thing. And she has a mind of her own sometimes. I guess everybody does, don't they? Hallelujah. I don't mind it at all because she's my joy. Amen. Amen. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Now, ladies, don't take that as an example that you can disobey your husband, okay? Don't do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't get married till you find a woman to listen to you, okay? Okay? Hallelujah. Acts 16 and 16. Just a little fun there. I hope that's not on tape. It's not, is it? It is. Can you erase it, please? Acts 16, 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain in soothsaying, or by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he, that's the Spirit, came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes. Notice that. They tore the clothes off of Paul and Silas. They rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Father, let the word of God be like a mighty, mighty torch of fire this morning. And may it stir our hearts to a complete transformation. And may we become servants of our most high God in a more dedicated manner than ever. In Jesus' name. And you may be seated. And you may be seated. Forgive me for the long text, but it was too important not to read every word of it. There's actually more that I would have liked to have read, because this story has got to be one of the finest in the New Testament, especially the book of Acts. It is a story of the kingdom of God under great siege, under great attack, in the midst of great warfare. But it gives us a picture of the mighty God who stands with his children when they will be usable for him and his kingdom. I would like for you to notice that all of this great chapter took place outside of a church building. It was not within the walls of a place sanctified for worship and praise. And I love the church. I love the church house. I love together in the church. The church is an important part of God's kingdom. He said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." He says in his word, "They that be planted in the house of God shall flourish in the courts of the Lord." He says, "Forsake not yourselves, or the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." He said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." He says in Acts 2, "And such as were saved was added to the church daily." Oh, I could go on and on and tell you the importance of the church. But could I go a little further and tell you a church that is only between four walls is of no value, or very little value, I may should say, to the kingdom of the Lord. The things about a church that makes it great is what goes on outside the walls, beyond the building premise, beyond just the place where people worship. If we come to worship and we don't take what we get here beyond the walls of the church, we are not very devoted Christians. Everything we get in here needs to be taken out there and distributed everywhere we go. Thank God for prison ministry, Brother Allen, church. Thank God for rest home ministry, Sister Judy and Brother Buck, and also Brother Johnny. Who isn't here this morning. Thank God for the school ministry, Sister Ginger. Thank God for the work of this church in videos and audios. And thank you, Sister Nancy. Thank you, brethren, who sit on those video cameras and behind the sound system, Brother Steve. Because this church would not be worth its salt if it didn't take what we have beyond these walls. Are you hearing me? Are you listening to me? The Holy Ghost spoke early to me this morning and laid on my heart that the value of a church is what happens outside the walls. The value of a church is what happens beyond the gates and the doors of the house of God. And I hope we get that and it gets a hold of us. I really do. I believe the reason the devil went after Tyler Graber and tore him down and destroyed him was because he was devoted to taking the church everywhere he went. He would preach on the streets. He would preach at the gates of the place he labored. He would preach in restaurants when he went out to eat. He was sharing this gospel everywhere he went. And the devil said, "I can't put up with that." And he got took out. And I pray that we can maybe see him repaired, redeemed, brought back. I've really been praying for him. But I'm here to tell you, the devil don't like it when you take the church outside the walls. Do you understand that? Man, you seem quiet on me. Did I say something offensive? How many believe the church ought to be outside the walls as well as inside the walls? How many are willing to put a little labor at getting this church outside the walls, outside the doors? I mean, out there where the world's going to hell. And today we live in a day that's different. When I got saved, sinners were constantly in the church. Sunday night was evangelistic, and the place would be half full of people who were not Christians. Oh, but that day's long gone. Can't even get the saints to church amongst us, the sinners, on Sunday night. In this day in which we live, I mean, it's just it's an unusual hour. It really is. But I want you to look at this story. It is one of the most beautiful in the New Testament. And I just have fallen in love with it all over again. Now, first, I wanted to talk about the spiritual warfare that the church and the house of God, according to this text, is certainly facing today. Warfare is on, brother. Warfare is on. And I mentioned a while ago the little four-year-old. It has dawned on me, as I've never felt it in my life, that Satan is targeting children today. Satan is targeting children today. Are you listening to me? Satan is targeting children and young people in a ferocity and an anger and a determination that is really overwhelming. We wonder why kids all over the world, young boys and young girls, are traveling all the way into the Middle East to join the ISIS group. I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and even thousands of them out of middle class families where they've had nothing but comfort all their lives. They've enjoyed the best life that you could imagine, and they're leaving this place of comfort and going into the battlefields with these radical Islamists to do their best to destroy everything that doesn't fit their agenda. How are young people doing that? I'll tell you, very simple. You look at the television and the videos and the video games. We've trained them to be killers. We've trained them to kill. That's what they see on these video games. And much of television is kill, kill, kill. You can't train people to kill and not expect them to get excited about killing. Am I right or wrong? Of course you know I'm right. So Satan and the Antichrist is targeting children. Targeting children. I'm overwhelmed all over America. The new excitement among the sodomites is to reach children and convince them they are not what they think they are. They may have a boy's body, but they got a girl's head. They may have a girl's body, but they got a boy's sexual appetite. I want to tell you something, friend. That is as vile. It is so vile. When I hear it, I want to scream at it. Because it's so vile. But it's gripping America. Already in the public schools of California, a little girl who thinks she's a boy has the right to go to the boy's bathroom when she gets ready. And vice versa with the little boy who thinks he's a girl. I'm telling you, when you think of that coming to America, I promise you, I believe it with all my heart. You know the city offices of Charlotte have already been declared by the mayor and the city manager that the restrooms are open to transvestite people to use the bathroom of their choice, be it a boy, a man, he can go in the girls. And this is now allowed all over in every city building in the city of Charlotte. And we're trying to find a way to stop them. I'm trying to find a way to stop. You watch my word. Either this fall or the next fall, the public schools of this county are going to be saying that now our bathrooms are open to transvestites to use the one of their choice. It's coming. Anybody believe it's coming beside me? Of course it's coming. It's already gripping America. It's already coming in many communities. I just read of a couple in a city, in a particular city of America, and the school had provided a special bathroom for unisex people, but the young man, I believe it was the young man in this case, didn't want to use it. He wanted to use the girls' bathroom because he believed he was a woman. And so they wouldn't let him, and they sued the court system, and the judge granted him $75,000 and the right to use the restroom of his choice. In America, that happened. So, let me tell you something. There's a war going on. Anybody out there know there's a war going on in the spiritual realm? Anybody out there that knows there's a war going on in the church world? If you don't, I'm up here to try to convince you this morning. I'm up here to try to convince you. The devil is going about like a roaring lion, the Bible said, seeking whom he may devour. He is determined to devour. And I promise you, we talk about revival. We talk about having a move of the Holy Ghost. There are devils by the scads, by the multitudes whom the devil has charged. You don't let there be a revival. The devils and demons are charged with the responsibility of doing everything they can to eliminate the possibility of a revival. If you start praying like you ought to pray, the devil is going to come against you, and praying is going to become a battle, a warfare, but you can win if you've got the courage, if you've got the stamina, if you've got a backbone, because God will see you through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I get amazed at some of the battles I fight. I am grateful that the devil knows who I am. I don't want to be unknown to the powers of hell. I want them to know that I'm in the business of the king. Now, Philippi, that's the city of our message today. And the devil wasn't going to give up Philippi easy. You can see in the scripture that Satan had set his marks. That young church has come here to take Philippi, and we are not going to let it happen. So there was this intent war that developed in the city of Philippi. Now let's try to get an understanding. We didn't read the text, but something really special had just happened. Paul and Silas heard of a prayer meeting that was over beside a river in the city of Philippi, or near the city of Philippi. Doesn't say which. And so they went to the prayer meeting that was being held. I presume these were a bunch of Jewish saints, Jewish people, who had been put out of the synagogue. And so they was having to have church down by the river. Doesn't say that, but I'm just surmising that's possible. And Paul and Silas went to the Bible study. They went to the prayer time. And there was a woman there whose name was Lydia. She was apparently very rich, a seller of purple. Now, you don't use that term, the seller of purple, unless you understand there's some money that goes with that. There's some wealth that goes with that possibility. There is no doubt a picture here of a very wealthy woman who was a seller of purple, but who had a heart after God. And so she was there as part of this prayer meeting, and Paul and Silas was there, and they began to talk about Jesus, and the Bible said that God opened the heart of Lydia, and she accepted the message of Jesus Christ, and was converted to God. And she was baptized, her and her household, and had not even been to a church. It was all outside on the riverbank. And Lydia was converted. And when she was converted, she said to Paul and Silas, "My home can be your home while you're here in Philippi preaching." And so she invited them into her house. She said, "If you find me worthy." And so they went to Lydia's house, and it became like a depot. It became like a central place. No doubt it became the place the church in Philippi actually began, most likely in Lydia's home. What a miracle. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? God opened her heart, and so this wealthy woman receiving this gospel of Jesus Christ is wonderfully converted. Well, Paul and Silas then leave her house to go out and proclaim the gospel, and they're out on the streets, and they're proclaiming Jesus, and there's a little damsel who's possessed with demon spirits to tell fortunes. She was a soothsayer. She could tell the fortunes of people. And so these men had taken her into their control and made a pimp out of her. And she was their instrument of wealth. And they were having her telling fortunes. And they were collecting the wealth. And they were apparently were becoming very wealthy over the superstition of the city of Philippi, using that little demon-possessed girl. But the men of the city may have been ignorant, and the women of the city may have been unbelievers, but there was a demon-possessed girl who knew who these men were. I always am amazed, and I'm preaching the Bible, how that demon-possessed people know better how to identify a man of God than people who claim religion know. While people who claim religion are condemning and finding fault and doing all kinds of negative stuff against the man of God, some old demon-possessed damsel, somebody who's full of the devil, recognizes that those men or that man is a man of God. It's amazing to me that devils always know when the Holy Spirit is at work. And the devils always know when evil spirits are doing their ugly business. The devils always know when wickedness is finding a right of way. They always know. And so we find that this little demon-possessed person is constantly saying, these are the mighty men of God. These are mighty men of God. They're telling us the way of God. They're telling us the way of God. And so when Paul kept hearing this, he didn't want a devil testifying who he was. Oh, that's my opinion. And so he cast the devil out of that little damsel. You see, he didn't need her opinion because she wasn't possessed by her choice. Now listen to me carefully. Nobody can cast the demons out of somebody who wants their demons. If you want to be possessed, and nothing I can do about it, if you want to be possessed of devils, there's nothing no man of God, a woman of God can do about it. But this little girl was literally usable to these masters, these men who were making merchandise out of her, and Apostle Paul cast the demons out of her. Isn't that beautiful? Now listen, outside the church, there's already been a woman saved on the riverbank, and there's been a little damsel delivered in the marketplace, and the devils have been driven out, and now the city is in an uproar. The people who were making wealth off of that demon-possessed girl began to stir up the city and started a great revolt, and so they take Paul and Silas and they drag them in front of the magistrates. These are the officials, the officers, representing what we would call the police or the sheriff department, and they take Paul and Silas and they rip their clothes off and they beat them black and blue, and then they take them to the jail and say, put them in the secure place that nothing can happen to them. And so the jailer puts them in stocks and bonds inside the inner part of the prison house, so there's no possibility of escape, because now he's under great charge, and he knows his life is responsible for their keeping. You know, so it's quite a picture. So here we are in the city of Philippi. Already there's been a woman converted by the riverbank, and there's been a young damsel delivered of demons in the marketplace, and now the man of God, the two men of God are under great charge, and they've been drugged before the law enforcement of the city. They've been ripped of their clothes. They've been beaten with no doubt wicked materials, and they are now thrust into prison, and it's a dark looking situation. Would you say the kingdom of God in Philippi was under siege? How many would say it was under siege? How many would say, boy, if there's any such thing as stopping these guys, these people are doing it. We've got them stopped. We got the preachers in prison. We've got everything under control. And now the devil is in charge of this city. And nobody can do anything about it because the preachers are locked up. Well, the preachers are now in jail. I can imagine. Can you imagine how they must have felt? Their backs are black and blue. They have been striped in a pitiful fashion. Their clothes are missing. They don't have their regular garments to be on. They're in the middle of an old dark dungeon, no doubt rat infested, no doubt a very terrible place. We got prisons today that are almost like a Hilton hotel. But I want you to know those prisons back then wasn't Hilton hotels. You understand that? They weren't even close to being Hilton hotels. And so they're in prison. They're locked up. It's midnight. Their pain has ripped their bodies. Blood is caked all over them. They didn't have any dinner. Probably no lunch. Maybe even, well, they probably had a lunch at Lydia's house. But they certainly didn't get any dinner. I mean, they are in a desperate situation. And what are they going to do? They don't have a lawyer they can call. They don't have anybody they can call on to represent them. They are in trouble. They are in jail. Their feet are in stocks. They cannot go anywhere. They cannot even relieve their suffering. It's a dark place. So what do they do? Well, they don't do what most of us do today. They started singing. I like this. Great day. I like it. You say, could Paul sing? Probably no better than I do. Now, don't tell him that when you get to heaven, okay? He might be offended by that. But I want to tell you something. It didn't have anything to do with tunes. It didn't have anything to do with melody. It didn't have anything to do with how great they were. It all had to do with the hearts of two men that was in love with the king. And they began to sing and worship. Hallelujah. They're singing and they're worshiping and they're praising God. Now, how long has it been when you were in the darkest situation that you could possibly be that you actually begin to sing? Anybody? You actually begin to sing. Mike, when the enemy comes after you, just start singing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Most people, they're like me. When they start singing, the devil says, I can't stand that. Don't you laugh over there, Judy. Hallelujah. I'm not a good singer. I promise you that. But I sure do love it. I don't know what you tell that I love it, but I do. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. When it's good and when it's bad, when it's raining, when the sun's shining, when it's cold or when it's hot, when it's comfortable. Well, I tell you, it's wonderful to belong to the Lord. And Paul and Silas begin to sing. Somebody raise your hand and help me, will you? Hallelujah. I want you to learn to sing when the chips are down. I want you to learn to sing when things are bad. I want you to learn to sing when you're sick in body. I want you to learn to sing when the devil's on your case. I want you to learn to sing when your neighbor is criticizing you. I want you to learn to sing when your boss man is upset with you. I want you to learn to sing whatever's wrong, whatever's going wrong, whatever's out of keeper. Well, these guys was in a worse situation than any of us probably will ever be. I might get put in jail. I don't know. But these jails today are very comfortable. But I promise you, I'm not going to watch television. I promise you, I'm not going to watch television. If I go to jail, I'm probably not even going to eat that grub. Because I doubt I could stand it after eating Sister Chambers' food. Maybe I got hungry enough I could. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to start singing. And that will close down the prison house. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to start singing and I'm going to start praying. Well, that's what they did. They began to sing and they began to pray. The Bible don't tell us how long they sung. The Bible don't tell us how dark the situation was. The jailer was asleep, so they must not have been singing loud, and maybe they was in a place that the sound didn't carry. I don't know what the circumstance were, but all I know is they began to sing and they began to pray. Hallelujah. If they prayed for an earthquake, the Bible don't say it, so I doubt they did. I think they just was enjoying their circumstance, knowing that God had it all in charge. Hallelujah. How many of you believe that when we belong to God, He's in charge of everything that has to do with our life? How many believe the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord? That's what the Bible said. How many of you believe when God's people get in trouble that God's there? No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. The Bible said the devil don't have a chance to stop you if you really belong to God. If you're a halfway Christian, then you're probably going to get in trouble. But if you belong to God and you really got the real thing and He's really real in your life, hallelujah, God's going to take care of you. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, what a God we serve. I don't know about you, but I sure am happy to be a servant of the Lord. I'm a happy person to serve Him with all of my heart. I got some things that could break your heart if you let Him. I got some situations with grandchildren and children that are very troubling and painful on the inside. But I want to tell you something. I done put them in the hands of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if He can't do anything about them, I sure can't. And so I'm willing to trust Him. I'm willing to depend on Him. He's a faithful God. I'm telling you, He's a faithful God. Well, I got to tell you, while they're singing and while they're praying, God is acting. And God sends an earthquake on that old prison building right there in Philippi. Now, you can just imagine. Apparently, it didn't bother no other buildings. It didn't bother the town. There was no effect on other buildings as far as we know in the Bible. Nothing is said about any of that. But that old prison house, the very foundations of it were shaken. And every door was unlocked and opened. Every stock and bond was literally opened and removed. Only God could do something like this. Do you understand that? There's no physical powers that could have set them free. Maybe some big army could have marched in and done it. But then they still needed to borrow the keys or get the keys from the jailer. But God didn't need a key because He opens doors and closes doors at His own will. Did you know that God can open a door that's locked and He doesn't need a key? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. And the prison house is shook and all the doors are open. And suddenly the jailer wakes up. Boy, I tell you what, he could sleep in some unusual circumstances, couldn't he? He woke up and grabbed his sword and he's going to take his life. You know, he knows he's in trouble. The jail's wide open, the doors are unlocked, the box, stocks and bonds are off, and as far as he could perceive, the inmates were gone. The inmates had fled. They were out of there. But he drew his sword to kill himself. And Apostle Paul, I guess, saw it. I don't know. Somehow he knew it. And he screams out. The Bible said he screams out. He yells out. I mean, he shouts out, "Do thyself no harm." We all hear. And so the jailer comes running into the room, the dungeon, the inner dungeon where Paul and Silas have been incarcerated. And he comes and he falls down at their feet. Hallelujah. He falls down before them. Boy, you saved my neck, fellas. Well, no, we didn't save your neck. That was the hand of God. But that, as far as we know, wasn't said. Maybe was said. But all we know is Paul said, "Do thyself no harm." We're all here. And he comes in. And you know, as soon as he does what little introduction he has to do, he says, "What must I do to be saved?" I'd like to have Christianity, if this is a good representation of it. I'd like to have salvation if you guys are really revealing what I'm seeing. This is real. This is something I've never seen before. I've seen religious people of all descriptions, but I've never seen religious people like this. Did you know that's what this world needs to see? It needs to see us with a real thing, with real power, with real victory, with real triumph. He needs to see us when we can lay hands on the sick and they get well. We can see demons cast out. Do you hear me? This is the church doing the business of the King. Our church may not be big here between these walls. And people sure like to criticize us for that. But let them run their mouths. Because we're doing God's business all over this world. Last Saturday, I wrote an article. I took an article on praying until you pray through. And it's a good article. It really is full of the Bible and full of the Holy Ghost. And when that radio program was over 1 week ago, we emailed that article out of our office in there. And I got a report on it yesterday or day before. Do you know how many places that email was opened? Would you like to hear? 30,655. The message that went with the radio program Saturday a week ago. 30,655. Australia, New Zealand. Yesterday I got an email from Ethiopia. And on, you can name the countries who are hearing the broadcast on Saturday, who are hearing the sermons from Sunday now on their radios and their little cell telephones. Listen, let me tell you, what we're doing in those ways are much greater than just having a great big church sitting here with a marvelous choir and all kinds of great things happening in the building. God's church has got to get outside those walls. God's church has got to get out there where the world's going to hell, where the world needs a miracle, where the world needs to see the powerful gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, hallelujah. I won't tell you the name. But I was eating with a young man some time ago. And he was saved right here at this altar on a Wednesday night. Wonderful young kid. Wonderful young man. Married a little girl he met here. And she didn't like it. She wanted to go somewhere else. And so they're going to a fairly fancy church. And he said to me, Brother Chambers, everything I know about the work of God, I learned it at Paul Creek. I said, you're still doing it, aren't you? He said, no, we don't do any of these things while I'm going to church now. Now, what good is a pretty fancy church with all the good things that you can imagine, but the walls literally set the boundary of where that church is represented and what that church is doing. I say tear down those walls, break loose the fetters, and turn the church loose to turn this world upside down and bring this glorious gospel to a multitude. Somebody shout hallelujah. My time's up. Stand up, will you? In the name of the Lord. Listen to me, church. It's time we understand that God is faithful. When His people will do His business, He will never fail to be right there and take care of us. Somebody raise your hand and say, I want to be God's church in this closing hour. Come on, slip your hands up and say it with all you got. I want to be part of God's church in this closing hour. I want to get beyond the walls, beyond the limitations of doors, where the gospel can be proclaimed and declared and men can be saved. Raise your hand up there and shake it a little bit, will you? Let me see it. Hallelujah. I got to do the Lord's business. I got to be involved. I was with a young man some time ago who used to come here to church. And he said, Brother Chambers, you know why I don't like you? He said, you always over there, across the country, over there doing radio. What you need to do is quit all that stuff and just get right here and just take care of the church. I said, I ain't going to do that. I'll never forget. Brother Marlin, I was at a district pastor's meeting some years ago, and they had all the preachers to tell about where they pastored, what they did. And when it got to me, I'm sitting there kind of conniving. You know Brother Chambers, don't you? I was sitting there kind of conniving, what am I going to say? And when it came my time, I said, I want to tell y'all, God appointed me as an ambassador for the kingdom of God in the city of Charlotte. And that's where I am. Being an ambassador for God in my city where He sent me. If you're ready to be an ambassador for Christ wherever you go, on your job, in your school, where you live in your community, your neighbors, you like to do some prison work, you like to go to the jails, you'll go with them to the rest homes, you'll knock on doors around here and tell the story of Jesus. What are you doing beyond the walls of the church? If all you do is what you do inside the building and you never do any of that outside the building, you need to be ashamed of yourself. I don't know about Brother Marlon. I believe Brother Marlon witnesses everywhere he goes. But if he teaches Sunday school here and proclaims the wonderful truth of the Bible and he don't do it over there where he works just because somebody may not like it, I would say, Marlon, get to doing it whether they like it or not. You have no right to do it here if you don't do it there. None of us have a right to do what we do in the church if we don't do what we do outside the church. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Wow. Thank you, Brother Chambers, for what you just said. I hope you will receive it in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I believe the Holy Ghost laid on my heart this very morning that the church is not the church just inside the walls. The church is the church beyond the walls, doing the Lord's business, lifting up the name of Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, I love you this morning. I love you. I love you. I love you. You've been good to me, Lord. You've been good to me, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for all you mean to us. Make us a witness all over our city. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. I've preached you the word of the Lord the best I know how this morning. The church is under siege. The kingdom of God is under siege. It isn't going to get better. It's going to get worse.